He came back to their tiny apartment and laid the goods out on the dining room table. Regina began to cut the gingham, small sizes for toddlers, larger for small children, until she had 40 aprons. She began to sew. At midnight, she went to bed, and Lewis took up where she had left off. At dawn, she rose and began cutting buttonholes and adding buttons. By 10 in the morning, the aprons were finished. Lewis gathered them up over his arm and ventured out onto Hester Street. "Children's aprons, little girls' aprons, colored ones 10 cents, white ones 15 cents, little girls' aprons." By 1 o'clock, all 40 were gone. "Ma, we've got our business," he shouted out to Regina after running all the way home from Hester Street. "We made $2.60 in 3 hours of selling." He grabbed her by the waist and began swinging her around and around. "You've got to help me," he cried out. "We'll work together. Ma, this is our business." Jewish immigrants like the Floms and the Borgonecks and the Janklows were not like the other immigrants who came to America in the 19th and early 20th centuries. The Irish and the Italians were peasants, tenant farmers from the impoverished countryside of Europe. Not so the Jews. For centuries in Europe, they had been forbidden from owning land, and so they had clustered in cities and towns, taking up urban trades and professions. 70% of the Eastern European Jews who came through Ellis Island in the 30 years or so before the First World War had some kind of occupational skill. They had owned small groceries or jewelry stores. They had been bookbinders or watchmakers. Overwhelmingly, though, their experience lay in the clothing trade. They were tailors and dressmakers, hat and cap makers, and furriers and tanners. Louis Borgonecht, for example, left the impoverished home of his parents at age 12 to work as a sales clerk in a general store in the Polish town of Brzeszko. When the opportunity came to work in Schnitwarenhandlung, literally the handling of cloth and fabrics, or piece goods as they were known, he jumped at it. In those days, the piece goods man was clothier to the world, he writes. And of the three fundamentals required for life in that simple society, food and shelter were humble, clothing was the aristocrat. Practitioners of the clothing art, dealers in wonderful cloths from every corner of Europe, traders who visited the centers of industry on their annual buying tours, these were the merchant princes of my youth. Their voices were heard, their weight felt. Borgonecht worked in piece goods for a man named Epstein, then moved on to a store in neighboring Yashwav called Brandstatter's. It was there that the young Borgonecht learned the ins and outs of all the dozens of different varieties of cloth, to the point where he could run his hand over a fabric and tell you the thread count, the name of the manufacturer, and the place of its origin. A few years later, Borgonecht moved to Hungary and met Regina. She had been running a dressmaking business since the age of 16. Together, they opened a series of small piece goods stores, painstakingly learning the ins and outs of small business entrepreneurship. Borgonecht's great brainstorm that day on the upturned box on Hester Street, then, did not come from nowhere. He was a veteran of Schnitwarenhandlung, and his wife was a seasoned dressmaker. This was their field. And at the same time as the Borgonechts set up shop inside their tiny apartment, thousands of other Jewish immigrants were doing the same thing, putting their sewing and dressmaking and tailoring skills to use, to the point where, by 1900, control of the garment industry had passed almost entirely into the hands of the Eastern European newcomers. As Borgonecht puts it, the Jews bit deep into the welcoming land and worked like madmen at what they knew. Today, at a time when New York is the center of an enormous and diversified metropolitan area, it is easy to forget the significance of the set of skills that immigrants like the Borgonecks brought to the New World. From the late 19th century through the middle of the 20th century, the garment trade was the largest and most economically vibrant industry in the city. More people worked making clothes in New York than worked at anything else, and more clothes were manufactured in New York than in any other city in the world.